Good morning and welcome to Focus on Health, the weekly radio program where we talk about all the great things happening at Van Deest Medical Center. I am your host, Lori Foster, and on today's program, we're going to be talking cold weather safety with nurse practitioner Lee Carlson. Before we do, I have a few announcements I would like to share. First of all, this week, our Jewel Clinic is closed through February 2nd and will reopen next Tuesday, February 3rd. If you need assistance, you can call our Webster City Clinic at 515-832-7800. A couple of events we have coming up. It's not too late. Listeners, you will not want to miss this. Today, we have a free Empower Half Hour beginning at 12 o'clock noon in our clinic boardroom. Our dietitian, Christy Zweifel, is going to be giving a presentation challenging participants to eat 30 different plants in a week. She will share how the challenge benefits gut health by boosting the immune system, reducing inflammation, increasing fiber, and lowering your cancer risk. Again, it's a half hour from noon to 12:30 in our clinic boardroom. Those joining us in person will be able to make their own yogurt parfaits. We'll have handouts available as well as some recipe cards because there is going to be some food enhancers with healthy seeds that you can put on your yogurt parfaits. If you're not able to join us in person, we are offering this via Facebook Live. You can like us on Facebook if you haven't already, and you can tune in at 12 o'clock noon, or it will be available to watch at your convenience. We certainly hope to see you there today. Also coming up next week, we have our February Seniors and Law Enforcement Together meeting. The acronym for that is SALT. It will be Thursday, February 5th, beginning at 9 o'clock, and we'll be meeting at the Hamilton County Conservation Building, and that's located on Briggswoods Trail and next to the lake there. We get things underway at 9 o'clock with refreshments. We offer free blood pressure checks, and then the meeting itself starts at 9:30. That's when we'll have announcements from law enforcement and area agency officials, as well as upcoming events from throughout Hamilton County. Hamilton County naturalist John Laird will be presenting the program. He is going to be reviewing their 2025 programming with a look at what's to come in 2026. He will also discuss plans for the Conservation Office, sharing a vision for the future Nature Center. SALT meetings are free and open to the public. We hold them every other month at different locations throughout Hamilton County. We certainly encourage your attendance. Again, next SALT meeting will be Thursday, February 5th at 9 o'clock a.m. And then lastly, I am very excited to mention, I think this is a much needed opportunity in our communities. There is a new ministry program that's going to be offered. It's called Restore Us Care Ministry. So whether you are navigating the loss of a loved one, possibly going through divorce, job loss, any other significant life transition, this group offers a compassionate open space to be seen, heard, and supported. This gathering is open to anyone who has experienced loss, regardless of your faith background. The group is going to be meeting the second Tuesday of every month at Van Deest Medical Center. The first meeting will take place Tuesday, February 10th from noon to 1, and we'll meet in our hospital conference room. These sessions are going to be facilitated by Pastor Sarah Namukosi, who is with Asbury United Methodist Church in Webster City. If you have questions prior to the group meeting, you can certainly call Asbury United Methodist Church. And again, this group will begin meeting in February, but they will meet each month, the second Tuesday of the month, for an hour. The first meeting will be February 10th from noon to 1. And with that, We are ready to start into our program today. As I mentioned, we're going to be talking cold weather safety with our nurse practitioner, Lee Carlson. Good morning to you, Lee.
Good morning.
Nice to have you on the program.
Thanks for having me.
Yes. Well, the first time we had you on the program was your welcome program. So for listeners who may be unaware, Lee is one of the providers in the emergency department at Van Deese Medical Center, and he also sees patients in our Stratford clinic every Tuesday. How are things going for you?
Busy.
Good.
Yes. So I've been keeping very steady between work in the emergency room and the clinic here. I think the word's getting out that I'm, you know, back home and working locally, and so people searching out, you know, healthcare close to home.
Yeah, it's a huge benefit. So we are thrilled to have you serving both in the emergency department, especially in our Stratford clinic, like you said, to those who are in the community or around the community.
Yeah, glad to be here to give back to my, you know, hometown and, you know, my local community hospital.
That is fantastic. Well, as our listeners know, we have experienced some cold weather lately. Whether it's the wind chill or air temperature, extreme cold is dangerous. And it comes every winter, at least in our part of the country. But really, we've seen it across the country, especially as recently as the past week and weekend, as it's making its way across the country. Let's talk about some precautions for people to consider with cold temps, in particular, those extreme Arctic air temps and the brisk winds. What do people need to look out for?
Main first thing you want to think ahead, do I need to be going outside today or don't I? You know, I think preparing yourself and deciding when to go out, you know, when the weather's maybe a little bit warmer or the wind's not blowing, you know, to be safe in that regard. And then secondly, what do I need to be safe in my journey? Mm-hmm. What layer of clothing do I need to be having on, such as do I need to get my parka? You know, definitely need my stocking hat and mittens to keep my extremities warm, because if you're stuck out in the elements, you know, for a period of time, you know, frostbite and hypothermia can set in, you know, rather quickly, especially when the winds are blowing and you get the negative 30 to 40 wind chills like we had this, you know, past weekend, which can be very dangerous if we're stuck outside for even just a little bit of time.
So very true. And I like to think and hope that we are past those bitterly cold temps. But let's face it, we're at the end of January, and it's very likely that we could see these bitterly cold temps again. Mm-hmm. So just really good reminders for all of our listeners out there. And I appreciate you starting with, think about whether you really need to go out. And, you know, we even did a post on social media to that effect, that if you don't have to go outside, stay home, especially in those temperatures that when they're below zero and we're seeing the wind, people do not need to be out. So take that into consideration. If you do need to go out, we're going to be talking about, just like you said, some of those things to think about, how to dress, proper precautions, you know, the time that you're outside and how long your skin is exposed to those temperatures, because people can be susceptible to frostbite or even hypothermia in a matter of minutes. Let's go right into that, and let's talk about the warning signs of each of those.
So with hypothermia, that's classified as your body temperature normals 98.6 degrees Fahrenheit. When your body temperature due to prolonged cold exposure, and obviously if you're wet or have gotten, you know, like in the snow and snow melted on you and got your clothing wet, that increases the hypothermia at a faster rate than it does if your clothing is dry. So it's your body temperature below 95 degrees Fahrenheit. Some symptoms of that early on are some confusion, drowsiness, sometimes slurred speech. It's the body's natural response to start shivering or shaking because it wants to increase your body temperature. And then kind of fumbling of your hands. It's hard for you to like make fists and things and grasp things because when you get colder, vasoconstriction happens. So a lack of oxygenated blood to the periphery. Your body's kind of shunting down into the core to keep all the vital organs perfused at that time.
Okay. Now, how about frostbite? Like, people need to be careful. What kind of time frame even are we looking at? We should talk about that too.
Yeah. So in regards to time frame for hypothermia to set in, so at 32 degrees Fahrenheit, you know, that's freezing. And kind of depending upon the wind chill and how windy it is, hypothermia can set in anywhere from 15 to 45 minutes, depending upon how well you prepared yourself to be out in the environment. Mm-hmm. So going on to frostbite, so symptoms of frostbite can include numbness or tingling of your, you know, extremities or face due to the cold environment. Sometimes you can get red, white, blue, or purple, or brown patches of skin, cold, hard, waxy skin, and then pain can set in just because you get the that vasoconstriction happens. So, you know, it's not getting that oxygenated blood to the periphery. And so it's lacking circulation and oxygenated blood. And then if you are at like a negative 20 degrees, for example, that frostbite can set in within, you know, about 30 minutes. So time is of the essence and you want to limit your exposure, especially in these extreme weather environments that we've been having.
Mm-hmm. And we have had that. It's crazy to think, but those temperatures this past weekend were so cold. And we were looking at negative 18, negative 20 temperature. That's not even with wind chill factor.
Yes.
So people need to be thinking about that. And you know, if they're experiencing that and losing any like feeling in the tips of their fingers and it does get painful, get inside. You know, don't be messing around and staying out longer than you should.
Or if you're scooping the drive or the walk, make sure you go in frequently, like every 10 to 15 minutes, warm up, and then go back out.
Absolutely. Yes, great information. We know everyone is at risk from the dangers of extreme cold. However, there are groups who are more vulnerable. Let's talk about who those groups of people are that are most at risk during these times.
So your younger folks, like your school age kids are at risk because, you know, smaller body mass. If they're standing outside waiting for the school bus, make sure they're dressed, stocking hat, gloves, or maybe, you know, let them sit in the car with you until the bus gets there, you know, in this extreme temperature climate, because maybe the bus got stuck and it's delayed to that next stop, you know. So that's something I think about having children. I'd hate for them to get stuck out in the cold weather, you know,
and
have no place to go
that.
And not anticipating it. We're in Iowa. We have extreme weather from time to time and accidents happen and breakdowns happen and you don't want those delays. It can affect them, you know, and they can get frostbite and hypothermia from standing out for long periods of time. The other population that's would be susceptible to more at risk for hypothermia is your, you know, older age group and population due to they may have peripheral vascular disease and plaque buildup in their arteries, so their peripheral circulation isn't good to begin with. We expose them to the cold, inclement weather, so we have already impaired peripheral vascular you know, system due to chronic disease or what have you, and then the cold weather exacerbates that, which would put them at least at a double the risk of what it would a normal person like you and I who have good circulation and things like that. Also, some medications that they're on, you know, can affect how their body responds to the hypothermia, which would put them at increased risk as well, because they may not get the shivering or, you know, stuff like that to help rewarm them naturally. Mm-hmm. So.
And this is where I would interject too, again, if our older folks do not need to go out, especially if we've had some snow, if there's ice buildup on driveways and sidewalks, don't go out. You know, whether it's your recycling bin or your garbage or your mail, it can wait a day, or it can wait until the next week if it's your garbage or recycling. You know, to your point, they just don't need to be out in that. So yeah.
Reschedule for a better day. Right. Even us in the clinic setting, you know, if you don't feel like it's safe to venture out that day, but if you're concerned and not feeling well, we get that too. But if it's just your routine checkup and there's nothing and you don't want to expose yourself to the inclement weather, feel free to reschedule. We're always happy to do that.
Right. We do understand that, and we want to keep you safe. So, yes, protect your people. Protect your young ones, the elderly. If you have neighbors, you know, that are older, check in on them. See how they're doing. See if they need anything. Yeah. Help them out. That's part of it, too. And that connection is really key. Now, we know sometimes it's just a necessity and you do have to go out. So it involves dressing appropriately for the cold weather. Let's talk about this. I mean, I am a believer in getting out and getting fresh air. However, I will dress, and I will dress in layers. And so I am just such a firm believer in this. Let's talk about what people should wear in chilly versus cold versus that extremely cold, bitterly cold Arctic air like what we've had recently.
So, like, your mildly chilly weather, like your fall weather per se, maybe a light jacket would be suffice, plus or minus a hat and gloves if you feel it's necessary until it warms up midday. Once you're getting into the mild to moderate, moderate to more severe cold weather, like your Decembers and your Januaries, you know, where snow could fly at any time, you probably want to break out your winter parka jacket, something that's insulated on the inside so that if you are exposed to the elements for a period of time, you're keeping that core body warm. And then it's also to remember your hat, keep your ears protected, because ears can get frostbitten as well for if you're out in the elements for a period of time. And then your hands, because sometimes, you know, you want to protect your hands because you need your hands to drive. A lot of daily life essentials you use your hands for and functions, and you don't want to jeopardize them, you know, being out in the cold weather. So I'd say a good pair of gloves, you know, whether that be leather insulated gloves or whatever you have at home, but not the thin little, you know, gloves like the kids wear. And that's another thing, your kids should have the winter gloves that are heavy, you know, and insulated. So if they're playing out at recess, they stay warm, keep those fingers warm so that they can play and not get frostbitten while they're out in those elements. And then I'd say pants, you know, that are warm for you, whether that be sweatpants, whether that be jeans, it's whatever you're comfortable with, but long clothing. And then socks too, keep the feet warm. And then if your feet get wet, need to make sure that you switch out your socks and get a dry pair, because when your feet get wet from the snow or what have you and melt, that puts you at increased risk of, you know, getting frostbite on your toes and feet and things.
For sure. And I just can't say it enough. Like you mentioned, layer up, having that base layer. You may need one or two layers on top of that. In some of these temperatures, like what we've had, you just want to make sure you can peel a layer off, but you can't, if you don't have it with you, you can't put it on. So whether it's a face mask, I mean, if the temperatures drop below 20, I'm usually out there in a face mask too. So making sure you've, like you've said, you've got those gloves, you've got a hat, you've got the wool socks and your boots too. We just can't stress it enough. We want to make sure that people are dressed appropriately for the elements and the weather they're going to be encountering.
And then if you're lucky enough to get those little hand warmers, those are kind of nice to use too.
I love that you just said that, because I was going to, when you were talking about it, I'm like, I got to give a perk for those hand warmers. I too have them and they are great. And I mean, even with gloves on, if I'm out there and it's cold enough, they're wonderful with your gloves.
Maybe something to pack in your survival kit in your car.
Mm-hmm. Which is perfect. Lee, let's go right into that. We, you know, we discussed this a couple times throughout the winter season, but I think it's a great time to give the reminder of what to pack in your car, an emergency kit or a survival kit, you know, plus those additional items when it is really cold. What do we recommend for people?
Well, most everyone has a cell phone these days. That's good to take with you. Make sure you have an extra charger with, or a charger that can plug into your cigarette lighter or USB port in your car, so that if your phone does get drained because you're using it for directions or whatever, you have it to call for help. The next, first aid kit. So if you get cut or anything like that, you have first aid supplies with you if need be. Jumper cables is a good idea. So if you get stranded somewhere, you know, maybe the next person doesn't have a pair, but you have them, but they're willing to help you get your car started again. Because our batteries always tend to get zapped extra quick here in Iowa in this time of year because of the cold weather.
They do. They growl.
Yeah. Emergency light. If you, you know, have a flare or some sort of a flashlight, you know, with you, so that if your car battery does die, you can signal for help and be a passerby or what have you, or if, especially if it's dark out at nighttime, you know, if you get stranded, I think that would be a good idea. Non-perishable snacks, you know, this time of year, it'd be hard to keep like water unfrozen in your car, but maybe keep it in your purse or something, or take it with you just when you're going on long adventures. So if you do get stalled, you do have some water. And then like a snack or something like that, specifically if you're like diabetic or something like that, maybe you took your insulin, you didn't eat quite yet, and you know, you worry about those low blood sugars. So kind of dependent on, you know, your medical history and things like that, but good to have something to eat and, you know, have a snack in the car if you need it, if you get stranded. One also thing to make sure that you do, make sure you have a full tank of gas for venturing out, so that if you do get stuck or something in the snow, the emergency responders, you know, the sheriff department, police department, fire and EMS, they may be working other calls and it may take them a little bit to get to you.
So very true.
Because we've had pileups on the interstate here as of late, you know, that have just been, it keeps them pretty busy, you know, and then other people try to triage that the best they can. But got to keep in mind, if I do call for help, keep in mind it may be a little bit before they are able to help me.
And they'll get to people as they can. But you're right, sometimes they are tied up. And so other motorists will just have to wait.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where you're maybe not planning on it, but we have had multi-car pileups. We have seen these mini snow squalls come up out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So just thinking ahead of things that you may need in your car if you're stranded for a while.
Yep. Extra pair of hat or mittens, so if yours get wet, so that you got a dry pair to put on, so when you get back in your car to warm up, make sure you have blankets, you know, to keep warm. Snow shovel or scraper brush to clear your windshield, you know, and then plus or minus, you know, either a bag of sand or something like that, or maybe a little bit of cat litter. So if you do get stuck on ice, you can maybe try that to help get you unstuck. But those are kind of the main things that come to mind to be safe out in your vehicle when you're attempting to that venture wherever your destination may take you.
Great tips. And like you mentioned too, if you've got those hand warmers, put those in. And there's even the, you know, the packets of hand warmers.
Yes. That
you, and they work great. Hands for your feet. And so throw a couple of those in your car too, so that you have those at any time. So once temps start to warm up, even a little bit, there are some basic tips for people to consider. Maybe share a few of those tips.
Yeah, after it warms up, checking your pipes, making sure like your water pipes aren't frozen, you know, depending upon what time of home you live in. You know, if you live in like a mobile home, you know, making sure that they're working appropriately and no pipes busted in the freeze and you have a water leak somewhere. Also checking your exhaust pipes with like your furnace, you know, if it's a condensation furnace, you have vents out the side of your home, you don't want ice buildup, you know, in front of that to cause, you know, carbon monoxide poisoning in your home. making sure your walkways, you know, are clear the best you can, you know, if you need to salt or something like that to help reduce your risk of falling on the slippery ice or concrete, whether it may be gravel, rock, you know, so that it's safe for you to venture in and out of your home and others, you know, if they walk past your home on the sidewalk. Again, call your neighbors, check in on them, make sure they're okay once things warm up. Family, friends, keep your social network close and keep in contact. So if you need help, checking on them to make sure they're, you know, make sure they have the food they need, the water they need, you know, especially if they've been stuck for a while and not been able to get out.
So true.
Most importantly, the next thing is restock for the next go around.
Yeah.
You know, because we do live in Iowa, our weather events seem to be roller coasters as of late, and we're along for the ride, and we just want everyone to be safe and plan ahead.
So very true. Lee, great information that you're sharing. So, as I mentioned at the top of the program, you work in the emergency department at the hospital and at the Stratford Clinic. What have you been seeing lately for sickness, illness?
Been seeing varying your kind of mix of upper respiratory symptoms, ear infections, strep throat. The latest one as of late has been the influenza A virus. Seems to be going around, you know, within the communities and especially the younger population, you know, that's in school. Been seeing some decent fevers with influenza A virus, you know, up to like 103, sometimes 104, and that can be scary for parents as well as the patients themselves, you know, and they can become very symptomatic. And it's main thing with that is to, you know, treat the fever with your over-the-counter Tylenol, ibuprofen, make sure you're staying hydrated, and don't be afraid if you have any questions to reach out to your primary care provider or medical professional, or, you know, if you're concerned, we're always available in the emergency room to evaluate you as well.
Very good. And I think for a lot of people, it becomes, you know, maybe they themselves have symptoms or a family member does, and maybe it seems like improving one day, next day, maybe not. When is it appropriate to seek medical attention?
So I would say kind of number one, if the fever isn't easily treated by Tylenol or ibuprofen. Number two, if you aren't keeping any foods or liquids down and you have decreased oral intake, that's pretty significant to where you aren't making much urine or having to go to the bathroom very much, you know, when you're not putting out as much, you are probably not taking in as much. And the main thing is to stay hydrated. Thirdly, I'd say if breathing is an issue, you know, if you have underlying COPD, asthma, these viruses tend to hit you a little bit harder just because it causes an inflammatory response in the upper airways and can make breathing, you know, more difficult for those individuals, you know, if you have upper respiratory problems already. The most important thing I would say as well is to get your flu shot to prevent it. But sometimes the flu shot doesn't always prevent it, you know, 100%. You may get mild symptoms, but not as severe as someone who may have not gotten the flu shot, you know, this past year. Important to stay up to date on immunizations, you know, with the flu vaccine and things like that. Granted, you know, they aim the flu vaccine towards the strain that they think is going to be the most popular and, right, you know, widespread, but it's what we have to help, you know, prevent the severity of illness and help reduce the spread the best we can. And then your common cough and cold etiquette, you know, is important to cover your cough, your sneezes, you know, wash your hands, things like that.
Very good. Well, you've just offered some great tips there. It is the start of the new year. Yes, to our listeners out there, take the cold weather seriously. Prepare ahead of time, prepare for that extreme cold, plan accordingly, and yes, protect your people, your pets, pipes, and your plants. I do want to mention Lee Carlson is available to see patients every Tuesday in our Stratford Clinic. To schedule an appointment, you can call the Stratford Clinic at 515-838-2100 or go to the homepage of our website, vandeestmc.org, and you can schedule online. And that is the button you click. It's at the top of the homepage, and you can see availability of appointments and schedule at your convenience. Lee, thanks so much for being on the program today.
Thanks for having me.
And that will do it for today's edition of Focus on Health, brought to you by Van Deest Medical Center, where our focus is you.